Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is your first time listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I am D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 067 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on March 12, 2012. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. So how was your week? I hope you had a joyous Purim if you celebrated it. It's hard to believe, but I think I can unreservedly say that my week was just fine, despite losing an hour yesterday. But in retrospect, it was worth gaining the daylight. Honestly, I didn't trust my iPod to adjust to the time, and that's what we use for an alarm clock to get up on Sunday morning. And of course I should have. It's an Apple product, and it's a good product. So rather than trusting my iPod, I stayed up till after 3 a.m. just to make sure. And I had to get up at 7, so it was a bummer. But anyway, I'll catch up. I want to say a warm welcome to new student Tipton. We are hoping to begin lessons this week. Tipton sounds motivated and willing to put some time in practicing. He has a beautiful guitar, and according to him, this is the right time in his life to be learning to play. So I'm really looking forward to beginning lessons with him. And I'm happy to welcome Arno back into my schedule. Now you're settled into your new job, and although it was so nice to have lessons in the early afternoon, as we had been doing since you stopped your former job, resuming your old schedule of evening lessons will be just fine. So I'm glad you're back in my schedule, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days. Well, the saga of the unnecessary humidifier continues. When I was teaching Talia last week, shazam, there was her humidifier. My mother had a saying when I was little, when I quote unquote couldn't find something and asked her to help me find it, and it was right under my nose, and it usually was right under my nose, and she always said if it had teeth it would bite you. Well, it was so with Talia. Inside this organizer type container that she has in her room that looks very cute and is very functional, where her music stand, music books, and all her musical stuff accumulates, well, there was her humidifier. Really? You couldn't find it? Yes, she really couldn't find it right there with all her musical stuff. So I hope her guitar's buzzes will be lessening as time passes, provided she actually uses this phantom humidifier, which caused no end of activities and complications. The other party that was involved with the necessary, unnecessary, lost, and loved humidifier that I mentioned a few times over the past few podcasts, Michael, our guitarist friend, he's got something going on in our question of the week. So this strange relationship of Talia and Michael, who've never met each other and who have not ever really shared a humidifier, goes on. So there's something going on with this. We'll address Michael's question in the question of the week. I'm still in love with my DRs. Thanks for asking. Our little bird Sealy is finally getting that miserable splint cast off his teeny weeny broken leg on Friday. And we are hoping for a full recovery and complete use of his little claw foot with a little home TLC and rehab. I'll keep you posted on him. If you saw the pictures in the podcast show notes a week before last, I hope you agree he's the cutest bird that ever lived. I did get to the guitar shop to replace my wayward capo. I referred to my own capo roundup that I had done for a podcast over a year ago and settled on the Nashville Capo by G7th. I like everything about it. I will make a disclaimer that I don't use a capo much, but when you need one, you need one. I will be including links to the capo I purchased, the G7th homepage, and a page on which all the capos they make are illustrated, even the really blingy, pretty ones with Swarovski crystals on them. Ooh la la, dudettes, check it out. Don't forget the Les Paul in Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey. We drove past it just yesterday. The exhibit is open Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 5. Now, if you live in or will be visiting the New York metro area and you have not yet seen the exhibit, please make a mental note that the current exhibit will be diminishing in size at the end of June. Some of the collection that is on loan will be returned to the Les Paul Foundation and also to private collectors. A significantly smaller permanent exhibit will be installed in the museum. The current exhibit occupies about half of the museum space, so if you're planning to visit, move it up on the list of priorities and get there before it's reduced in size. What's there right now is mind-boggling, and honestly, it's worthy of the biggest city's great museums as far as quality and quantity of the collection. Oh, one last notice. My business phone number has changed. Currently, the old and new numbers work, but the old number will be disappearing in the near future. If you have, for any reason, made a note of that number, the number to which I'm referring is the one that's on my website before yesterday. Change it in whatever contact lists or phone book that you keep. That number will be defunct in the near future. This week, there is one student in the student spotlight. The question of the week is from Michael about whether he should be playing scales with a metronome. I shouldn't even have to answer that question. The news is about Takamine's 50th anniversary guitars. And the Take Notes segment is about what I call the quote-unquote C shape, not the chord, the left-hand position. So that's it for today's intro. Let's keep moving along to this week's student spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight this week, there is one lonely student, Mike. That's two in a row for Mike, and it's extraordinary. As I mentioned last week, Mike is a dentist and a high-powered businessman. He travels extensively for his work and has very, very little time to play. He is applying himself very well, and he is accomplishing a lot. And over the past week, he did fabulously, really, especially considering the small amount of time he's able to put in. I hope he doesn't allow his playing to slide too badly, as we will miss our next two lessons. Dude, you're impressing me with what you can do. Nice job. This is a call to the rest of my students. There's room in the spotlight for you. With the change to daylight savings time, which I think should be called daylight gaining time, personally, because that's what it is. I don't know about the daylight savings time. I guess it had something to do with the expenditure of electricity, if I'm remembering my elementary school social studies, but I might not be, so don't quote me on that. I'm not an authority. But considering that daylight gaining time has kicked in and the beginnings of spring are manifesting, I know the pull of spring fever is, well, let's call it contagious or ubiquitous. I don't know what the word is, but it's everywhere and it's spreading fast. Overcome it, you guitar players. It'll feel great to overpower it and exercise your self-discipline and your actual will to do something. With that applause to Mike and admonition to the rest of you, let's move on to this week's question of the week. This week's question of the week is from our guitar player friend Michael of the necessary, unnecessary, extra, beloved, lost, and found humidifier frame that has some cosmic relationship with Talia, my student. We saw him yesterday, at which time he told me that after a conversation he and I had over Christmas dinner, he was very convicted and conflicted and began to play some scale exercises. That's a good thing, even though it's driving his wife, Denise, crazy. Michael calls himself a hack player, and I think he's aspiring to do more with his guitar music. His big question yesterday was a funny one. He told me all of the traditional and pentatonic scales he's playing and how he's playing them in great detail. He gave me a good bit of detail and very specific, and his choice of what to play was extensive. I mean, maybe even too extensive. He's really going at this really whole hog. But his big question was, quote, "When I practice these scales, should I be using a metronome?" Close quote. Well, I know I probably smiled before the words came out of my lips and before I even uttered the answer, which I knew he already knew before he even asked me, because he hung his head before I even answered. And I said, "Definitely. Succinct is good when it's sufficient." It was like I stabbed him or something. He definitely knew before he asked what the answer was going to be. Obviously, like many of you listening, he and his metronome don't get along well. I think he just needed a little more forceful affirmation of something he already knew that he should be doing. I whet his appetite a bit and told him I would give him some studies that I think are particularly good. They're now out of print, so they're hard to get, and I told him I would supply those to him. Poor Michael, there is no more cold and factual witness as your metronome, and most people hate it because of that. However, that metronome is an invaluable and ruthless ally. Yes, it's distracting if you allow it to be so. Yes, it makes you feel like a failure if you're overzealous and not working your speed up slowly and steadily. I know. But it's a completely accurate measure of your speed, and it's an excellent trainer for those of you who gradually speed up as you ease into your music, or those of you who are not aware that your speed is inconsistent in difficult spots in your music. Notice that my definitely reply was to the question about scales. I do not recommend using a metronome for everything you play. Yes to scales and any speed or dexterity exercise. Yes to small phrases in which you need to give more attention because the rhythm is tricky. But to the rest of your playing, that needs to be infused with rhythm that springs from your internal metronome. Otherwise, it will sound passionless. Phrasing tends to become wooden when a metronome is used for everything. If you are an intermediate guitarist or above that level, you should know that there are some clues the music you play give you that affords you a bit of liberty in the rhythm. It might be just a breath in a phrase, or holding a note longer for emphasis or to mark the end of a phrase. Love your metronome, people. It's one of the best friends you will ever have, whether the feeling is mutual or not. Michael, I'm going to be talking to you soon, and I'm going to see that you're brandishing that metronome with pride and satisfaction and accomplishment. If you have a question you'd like me to address in this segment, please email me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. That's guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. If I use your question, I will be in touch with you and will gladly send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Thanks for the question, Michael. I'm sorry you had to even ask it. I'll be talking to you soon. And now let's move along to this week's news. in the news this week. I'm a couple weeks late on this, but I want to congratulate the Takamine Guitar Company for 50 years of creating great guitars. And I'm going to give you a little info that's on their website and tell you about the four commemorative 50th anniversary guitars that they're releasing. They're just beautiful. For a half century now, Takamine has proudly dedicated itself to the art of fine guitar craftsmanship. Its long-standing devotion to innovation and continual improvement has placed it among the world's premier acoustic guitar makers. With truly fine instruments that are the first choice of players all around the world. With humble beginnings in 1959 as a small family-run guitar shop nestled at the foot of Mount Takamine in the central Japanese town of Sakashita, I guess it is, the fledgling company took the mountain's name. In 1962, it began in earnest in the remarkable journey that led to the phenomenal success that is the modern Takamine Company. Little tongue-tied this morning, not as bad as usual. As guitar playing gained great popularity in Japan in the 60s, Takamine grew in size and stature as a quality instrument maker. With the 1968 arrival of the talented luthier Mas Hirati, Takamine guitars made great strides in design and manufacturing, and it was due in large part to Harade's great energy, dedication, and commitment that Takamine guitars became available worldwide in 1975. Legions of guitarists then began to discover the richly rewarding musical experience of playing a Takamine guitar. Takamine pioneered the development of acoustic electric guitars in the late 70s, introducing many innovations that remain at the heart of modern acoustic electric guitar design and setting standards for excellence that endure to this day. It is the legacy of integrity and acclaim that makes players around the globe rely on finely crafted Takamine guitars. Their respect and dedication is the real-world proof that Takamine stands for, as it always has, great sound and peerless craftsmanship in every instrument. That's why there are so many Takamine players, and that's why the guitar world now celebrates 50 years of Takamine guitars. Here's to the next 50 years, Takamine. The limited edition guitars they are offering are just beautiful. If you've played a Tak or you own one, you know what the quality is. This is a company that does execute their instruments beautifully. They're well made. The tonality's fabulous. And they are releasing four extremely limited edition 50th anniversary instruments. I'll run them down and give you both their model numbers and a very, very brief description. The first limited edition 50th anniversary model, the T50TH, nicknamed the Michi or Michi, M-I-C-H-I, which means a path or a course to follow over a distance. This is their premier. I haven't checked price points. My guess is this is probably the most expensive of these four guitars. A path is the theme that has guided the conception of this whole special limited edition instrument. There's a growing vine motif along the neck that is symbolic of the long vital life of the Takamine Guitar Company, and it's significant for their 50th anniversary. And this guitar will never be duplicated again. It's beautiful. And by the way, not only will I have links in the show notes page, I will have each of these guitars, the photos of these guitars up. Then there's the limited edition classical, and it's the LTD 2012C. This instrument possesses all of the power and projection you would expect from a big, substantial dreadnought guitar with a top-grade spruce top and solid rosewood back. Combine these attributes with their CPT-2 cool tube preamp, and you have a performance guitar that rules the stage with sonic power and visual presence. It's very pretty. Then there's the limited edition dreadnought, the LTD 2012. This oval sound hole classic utilizes a high-grade spruce top and a solid Indian rosewood back for brilliant tone and impressive projection. The performance capability is unmatched with the CP2 cool tube preamp system. And then there is the limited edition G series, the EG50TH, the first limited edition G series guitar in their 50-year history. This instrument is built using the same themes used on the Collector's Edition T50th commemorative and the LTD 2012 guitars. These design themes will never again be duplicated. And again, they're talking about this vine sort of pattern. This limited edition G series has a solid Sitka spruce top and mahogany back and sides, which give it a powerful voice with excellent projection for outstanding acoustical performance. Team this with a state-of-the-art Takamine pickup and preamp system for unmatched stage capabilities. These are just gorgeous guitars. If you haven't ever played a Takamine and can't afford one, which you will be in the boat of many, many guitarists, the next time you're in a guitar shop that has some Takaminis on the wall for you to play, sit down and play one for a while. It'll do your ears and your heart and your soul good. They're beautiful, beautiful instruments. And congratulations again, Takamine. You have contributed to the state of the guitar around the world for 50 years, and I hope that you continue to do so for a long, long time. That happy congratulatory note wraps up the news this week. So let's move on to the Take Notes segment, which comes up next. Topic this week is a reiteration of something I know I mentioned in the early days of this podcast as either a reply to a question of the week or perhaps as part of a take note topic. It's optimum left hand technique. Many student guitarists struggle with it, as do self-taught guitarists and incorrigible intermediate guitarists who have been taught by competent instructors. I'm shedding light on it once again because in my teaching experience, this is a recurring and plaguing issue with some players. I have to think that there must be a lapse during the practice week in which students, in this case, know what shape the left hand should be in and the general positioning of the thumb, but despite them knowing it, they practice otherwise. I've seen it with my students, and I know I'm competent, and I know I'm correcting them, and I know they've got it before I leave their lessons, and they're implementing it during their lessons. And then something happens over a week. It shows up the next week as if it came from nowhere. The previous week, the correction was made, the student understood, and as I said, it was, in my case, I even particularly noted in their assignment for the week, literally write it down, yet the problem returns. So I have to think it's not just with student guitarists, but with a lot of guitar players out in the general playing population. So I thought I would mention this one more time. Sorry if it's boring you, if you still remember from last time, took the admonition seriously and have implemented my advice. But if you're a newer listener or a not so experienced guitarist, or especially if you're a self-taught player, you need to listen to this and try to absorb what I'm telling you. The total efficiency of the left hand is unleashed or it's limited by the position of your left thumb. It's the thumb that seems to be the culprit here. If your thumb is wrapped around the neck of your guitar, overall guitar mastery will definitely elude you. I can say it is an absolute true statement. Watch the performance of any skilled guitarist play fast or something exceedingly complex, and you will not see their left thumb wrapped around the neck. Depending on how large their hands are, you may see that tip of their left thumb peeking above the plane of the fingerboard, but not wrapping around it. If your left thumb is in the correct position when you play, your hand will be in what I refer to as a C shape. In other words, the shape of the letter C. Not exactly perfect C. The bottom curve of that C is actually not curved like a smiley face going up. It's actually sort of curved like a frown, but it's a general C shape. Why does it matter? Well, I'm glad you're wondering. If you're wondering, that means you're still listening. And if you're still listening, I might be of some value to you. And that's the whole reason I'm doing this show. If you're near your guitar while you listen to this, check it out. If you hold your guitar neck with your thumb wrapped around the neck, the palm of your hand touches the neck somehow, whether it's just that fleshy part that's beneath your thumb or whether it's really the internal part of your palm. If that's normal for you, you need to change your left hand technique ASAP. Notice how limited the movement of your fingers is in this position. You surely won't develop speed holding the neck that way. You may also contend with playing chords cleanly that aren't even that difficult because the angle of your fingers is so compromised by where your thumb is. If your chords buzz because the fingers holding particular strings lean a bit and interfere with other strings, causing them to buzz or be muted, you're probably also holding this not C shape in your left hand. If you go to a lot of concerts or view accomplished guitarists, even on YouTube, and you know I really don't like YouTube that much, but if you do it, you will notice one thing almost all of them have in common, and that is this C-shape hand position with the thumb not wrapped around the guitar neck. It's going to be in a variety of positions. That's why I don't want to tell you where your thumb should be, but I can tell you what it definitely should not be doing. You know, all of our anatomy is different. The size of your hand is different. The profile of the guitar neck that you're playing is different. So I can't tell you exactly where your thumb should be because it moves around as you play. That's correct. But it shouldn't wrap and hook around the neck of your guitar. Now, you're going to say, you blues players especially are going to be screaming at me, and I know that. The exception is those guitarists who are blues or solo-only players who rarely play more than two strings at a time, unless they're just strumming rhythm. If you watch B.B. King, a blues legend, you will note his hand position is the opposite of what I'm encouraging you to do and my students to use. But Mr. King's strength is in his rhythm and phraseology primarily of single-note melodies, not complex chords, clean high-speed runs, and so on. So I'm not saying everyone embraces my C-shape philosophy, but those of you who need speed, dexterity, clean chords, and masterful, complex execution of guitar music do. I have a few students I worked with this past week whose technique is sliding away from that optimum C-shape, and their C's are shriveling. They have either been away from the guitar for a short while or other things, but the absence of playing and having their lessons regularly may also be contributing. There, it might be a gradual change in hand position that they're unaware of. If you look at your left hand when you play, check out your form. If not, play in front of a mirror or purpose to concentrate and sense when your palm is near or on the neck, and when you do so, resume proper C shape. If you've been hooking your thumb around the neck, I'm going to tell you it's going to feel totally unnatural, and it should. When you learn to play the guitar, the biggest thing your instructor should remind you as they encourage you with the proper form or shape of your left hand is that correct form on the guitar is a totally unnatural grip. If it feels natural, if you hold the guitar the way you first held the guitar neck, the first time you had it in your lap, you're probably playing with bad form. If you persevere, it won't be long before you have achieved the habit of good form, and you won't ever have to be distracted by it again, and you won't revert to it. But you've got to concentrate on this. Try to get that C shape in your left hand. It's something that can be trained and be made a habit of, not to mention how fast and clean and capable you are going to be of playing anything that you decide to play. Please, people, listen to me about this. You see a lot of guitar players with their thumb wrapped around the top of the neck of the guitar. It's not optimum if you want to be an all-around guitarist. I am not saying that the people who do it stink. I'm not saying I don't like them. I'm telling you, unless you're playing just specialized thing like Mr. B.B. King or certain other mainly solo playing guitar players, it's not going to work for you. So I hope you hearken to my C-shape encouragement, warning, advice, whatever you want to call this, tirade. Pick the word you want, I don't care. That wraps it up for this week's segments of episode 067. Let's move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. It's good to be back in a sort of normal life mode again. I'm still loving my DRs. Don't forget the Les Paul in Mahwah exhibit. The size of it will diminish at the end of June. Our little Sealy will have a free leg by the time I record next week, if all goes well, at his vet appointment on Friday. I did get a replacement capo. A G7th Nashville is what I chose. It's beautifully designed and manufactured. Congrats to Mike for attaining student spotlight status for a second week in a row. Michael, not Mike, man up and use that metronome. I salute Takamine's 50th anniversary of making extraordinarily great guitars. For heaven's sake, stop wrapping your thumb around the neck of your guitar to increase the fluency of your playing, speed, and the quality of the sound you make. Please note, my business phone number has changed in the past 24 hours, so if you have saved it prior to last night, go to the website and replace the former that ended with 38 with the current one, which ends in 41. The old number will be active for a little time, but its termination is quickly approaching. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 067 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. I'll also have photos of anything I think may interest you. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com. all spelled traditionally, which is GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me if you have a question for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Oh, well, there's the premiere of our little Sealy, if the mic picked him up. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I am not a tweeting maniac. I tweet to update the people following me with my guitar-y exploits and retweet what I think is interesting from the people that I follow. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you will find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number, new number, is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I am your host, hopefully and permanently, back to a normal lifestyle, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.